Hello, my name is Marta Rañón, and I am the Director of Government and Community Affairs for Southern Caregiver Resource Center. Thank you so much for being here at our Let's Talk Caregiving podcast. We are having a very special guest today, and his name is Todd Shetter. He's the Chief Operating Officer for Active Care Living, which is a residential memory care facility. And today we're going to be talking about a topic that is very of importance to a lot of caregivers, given that we just went through the holidays and a lot of families were gathering and spending time together. It's also a time where we kind of notice things that are different, especially caregivers. And, you know, we might start noticing that grandma might be showing some signs of forgetfulness, or, you know, maybe they're not able to do the things that they used to do. And caregivers often start asking, what's going on? Something seems a little different. And this is why we wanted to talk to Todd. Todd, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm hoping that you can talk to us today a little bit more about maybe some of the challenges that family caregivers face when coming to grips with this new reality.
Sure, absolutely. It's certainly a topic that we see and know very well. I've been in this business of caring for the elderly for 30 years now, and holidays always bring up interesting topics. It certainly brings families together, and then families see things, especially maybe the second or third generation of family members, grandkids, siblings that live out of town. They get together for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and we typically see a real kind of boost in interest, phone calls, inquiries from family members that have questions. Geez, you know, we haven't seen mom for a year. We haven't seen grandma for a year, and she's acting differently. She's doing things differently. She doesn't look the same as she used to. And so that really kind of brings things to the forefront.
So I know that a lot of times when families are noticing these changes, it's really coming to grips with this new reality. And I know that sometimes there are some feelings of denial and even guilt. Sometimes families say, you know, promise me that I'm going to live out my days here at home, and sometimes that's just not a possibility. What do you tell a family?
Well, it's, you know, I think it's human nature for all of us to want to stay at home. That's our goal, mm-hmm. right? To be as independent as possible for as long as we can. And I think the tricky thing for whether it's a spouse or whether it's an adult child is kind of negotiating those waters of when is staying at home no longer the safest thing to do? When does that risk really take over? And that's a different decision, I think, for everybody. But I think dealing with those feelings of guilt and denial are the most important thing. One is just acknowledging. Mm-hmm. It's an emotional decision to even confront bringing help into the home. You know, you're kind of breaking that known kind of covenant. You're comfortable with your home life, and now you're asking somebody else to step into the middle of that.
It also kind of, I think, makes them feel that they're not able to do the
sure.
things that they used to do.
Sure, sense of loss or sense mm-hmm. of kind of giving up or giving in, or I'm not able to keep that pledge or that promise that I made to somebody. Mm-hmm. But what we really try to remind family members is when you made that pledge, when you made that promise, dementia wasn't in the picture.
That's right. That is a very good point. And sometimes I think that's, you know, a lot of us plan for different things in our lives, maybe for school or family, children, retirement. But I don't think a lot of times we even consider, well, if I have dementia, this right. is what I'm going to do or what I would like for you to do. And now these are the facts that a lot of caregivers are facing. One of the classes that I give out in the community is how to help mom or dad and when to know when is the optimal time for placement. And what I tell caregivers is that sometimes there are indicators that can kind of alert you to that decision. And maybe it's you notice some personal hygiene becoming a problem, and maybe there are lapses in managing some of the finances. A lot of times families notice that maybe dad gets lost driving back home or in the neighborhood. So I just want to make sure that if that's something that people are noticing, that maybe this is time to have a conversation and involve others. Do you see that a lot in caregivers?
Absolutely. I think you know, one of the very common things that happens with dementia, especially, is that spouse, or maybe even the adult child, almost adopts the disease. You get kind of so closed in on that world of living in that routine that routine that now is not very functional seems normal. In doing things like locking the door or putting a chair in front of the door or really kind of creating maybe a dangerous situation if there was a fire or an exit that needed
to take place
that you really couldn't safely get out of the house. And so I think the most important thing is to kind of be able to step back and say, is this normal? Is this right? And is this safe? And that's kind of a wake-up call, and sometimes it takes somebody from the outside to step into that new world or that reality and say, maybe we need to evaluate what's going on here and really think about the highest and best use of time, because instead of waiting for it to get worse, let's see if we can make it better.
Absolutely, and I think you just said it. A lot of times we are in a crisis mode when we are making these decisions. And so I wanted to see, Todd, if you can maybe talk to us about some of the services that you offer and maybe some of the options that families have who are now in this situation of mom needing additional assistance.
Sure. Yeah, one of the things that Active Care Living does, we certainly own and operate what we consider highly specialized memory care communities. And we have four here in San Diego County. There's one in Chula Vista. There's one in Carlsbad. There's one around the Mission Bay area. And
they're beautiful facilities. I visited them. They're really nice.
And it's and one in Forest Ranch. And so the goal really is to create the next best thing to home when home is no longer an option. And so our home-like settings can support up to 60 residents living there. The residents have different size accommodations they can choose from. And the goal of the environment and the community is really to provide a home-like setting where the residents can live at that highest possible functioning level. It's a secured perimeter type of program so that the residents are safe.
That's great.
Wandering is a huge issue with dementia, and studies have shown that about 60% of residents that have dementia at some point will wander. And there's no prediction of wandering either, so there's no way to predict that that's going to be the next thing that happens. And so safety is ultimately one of the most important things to think about. So the residents have a home setting. We have staff 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that includes a nurse on each one of the three shifts. One of the dangers with dementia and memory loss is that there gets to be a point where the resident can't tell you what's wrong. They may have, UTI, and they're starting to act differently, and the behaviors are changing. They can't necessarily tell you that they're having, burning when they're urinating.
Very true, yes.
The caregivers and the nurses need to be their eyes and ears and need to anticipate those changes and recognize maybe just a grimace on their face as a change of condition. And then ask for a test or call in a mobile x-ray and check if something seems, out of place, or maybe somebody's walking a little bit differently than they were yesterday. So it's a level of safety and support in addition to kind of loving caregiving an environment so that people can live safely but then enjoy their life.
And I think that's what maybe caregivers, having said what you just said, it sets their mind at ease, that because they cannot be there 24/7 and might not be having a nursing background, so they cannot really tend to them all the time, your staff is able to anticipate, like you said, and even try to figure out what is that body language, what is that behavior telling me, and be able to act accordingly and assist.
Right. Well, let's be honest. I mean, not all of us are born to be caregivers, right?
Right.
I mean, I think that's part of where the guilt and the denial come from is, just because my wife or just because my mother or grandmother has dementia, I may not be the best person to take care of them. And I might be able to do that up to a certain point, but I think one of the challenges we see certainly with husbands is once incontinency becomes an issue, mm-hmm. and they're now caring for their wife's incontinency and changing briefs and giving showers, that sometimes becomes kind of that line in the sand where they no longer can do that. That's, you know, they can dress and they can escort and they can kind of plan the day, but once it comes into personal care, there's many caregivers that kind of have to draw the line, and I think we all have to kind of respect that we weren't all born ultimately to be caregivers all the way through the end of life.
I'm so glad you said that. I think especially from the male perspective, yeah. it is something that a lot of caregivers might not voice and therefore not seek assistance because of that shame, sure. or even that guilt. But sometimes assistance is needed. Where do they go?
Right. So go? part of what we do on the kind of on the forefront, when somebody walks into the door and asks for help, is really sit down and have a personal conversation and try to understand what their unique situation is. Because somebody really wise years and years ago told me, if you've met one dementia resident, you've met one dementia resident.
It's all different.
So every situation, every family scenario, every caregiving situation is different. And we really need to understand what the needs of that family are, who's involved with the decision, who's going to ultimately make the decision, who's going to be the responsible party. Are the legal affairs in order?
Mm-hmm.
Dementia, you know, provides a lot of different dynamics when it comes to caregiving and placement. Because that person cognitively is not able to make decisions on their own, has the family gone to the extent of putting a legal POA, a mm-hmm. power of attorney, in place for both health care and finances? Really important steps to take. And the earlier, the better. So the person that is confused can voice what they want ultimately before they lose that ability to say so.
And that is something that we try to tell our caregivers, that to really keep that in mind, that as you are caring for your loved one and you are in charge and focusing on their needs, that we also need to do that introspectively and look at our own situation. What might we want when we get to be that age, or should we find ourselves in that situation? Like you said, put it in place now, involve the parties that need to be involved, voice those concerns so that it makes it easier when having to place someone.
Right. I think the other thing that's important is what we plan for today is not necessarily what's going to take place tomorrow, next month, or next year. So dementia, many forms of dementia, especially Alzheimer's, is progressive.
Mm-hmm.
We know that it's going to progress. We know that it's going to change. We know that the needs of that resident or that individual today are going to be different in 6 months or a year. And so it's important that the family members, and we try to coach them through this, look at this as kind of a longitudinal decision.
Long-term,
that you need to
right.
be able to think about what's going to take place in the next 6 months. Can that resident, can their needs be met in this environment now, later, and then towards the end of life?
That's a great thing to think about now. And I think one of the, you touched upon the change. No one likes change.
Right. Right.
A lot of us are set in our ways. But sometimes not only does the situation change, the laws change, the environment changes, fees change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a cheap option sometimes for
Correct.
Families.
Yeah.
So figuring out something earlier is probably best. What do you suggest? What do you recommend for families?
Well, I think the first thing is to really kind of understand the landscape. You know, in the industry, we were all somewhat guilty, and I will include ourselves, in making it more confusing than it needs to be. And so we've tried to simplify the approach to pricing out the cost of specialized memory care, and to try to keep it as simple as possible. At Active Care, we have three levels of care. So we're able to meet the needs of residents from the very early stages, even in mild cognitive impairment,
okay,
through the mid to moderate stages, all the way through end stages. And we can do that because of the way we build the communities. They're specially built from the ground up to take care of dementia residents, and then the way we staff it. So having the nurses on board allow us to care for a resident later in life. We also partner with a lot of the really sound and really valuable hospice agencies here in San Diego County. And so they come in and partner with us to care for the residents in the end stages of life. It's a Medicare benefit. We encourage people to use that.
Oh, so they come into your facilities.
They come into the community, okay. And their services kind of overlay what we're doing and what our staff are doing. So it's really a huge benefit for the families and the residents in those, you know, last 6 months of life. So within each one of those levels of care I mentioned, it's an all-inclusive price. The only thing that is outside of that would be incontinency care. Mm-hmm. And only about 50% of our residents end up being incontinent. So that's the one variable. But it's, you know, the size of the room and the amount of care you need on a monthly basis is all wrapped into one price. And, you know, you'll see things like point systems, and those point systems may change because the residents' needs changed over mm-hmm. a month. And one of the complaints we hear is people walk in the door of, we just need to know how much it's going to cost.
Yes.
We need to be able to plan. We need to be able to budget. Mm-hmm. And so it's important to kind of compare apples to apples as communities are being kind of compared and you're shopping around. Make sure you have them write down, what's it cost today, but what is it going to cost when their needs change, as we talked, because it's going to happen.
So planning.
Planning, absolutely. And understanding what that total cost towards the end of life is going to be. So you can somewhat budget the amount of money that you're going to need to care for an average length of stay. And in our communities, that average length of stay is somewhere between 24 and 36 months. So, you know, families are doing as much as they can for their loved one at home until they can no longer do that. So when they come to us, they're in, for the most part, the mid to moderate stages, mm-hmm. or they've done, you know, the home care, the in-home care, the assistance from friends, maybe at home for the last 5 or 6 years.
Until there got to be a
right.
point where they couldn't sustain
just
that.
Could
model.
No longer do that.
One of as a caregiver, a former caregiver, I never thought I was going to be faced with this decision mm-hmm. for placement. Mm-hmm. Because I guess that you live in the moment and you're dealing with the situation at hand at that moment. And it becomes a little bit difficult, and for all our listeners out there, involving family members to support you in that decision to finally say, I can no longer provide all of the assistance this person needs. What do you suggest for families to offer that?
Give
support?
Everybody a job. So everybody in your family that's part of that support system needs to have a part of the care. And that doesn't mean that they all need to do the same thing and set up a time to come and visit. But, you know, somebody that maybe is the accountant in the family or the attorney or somebody that's really detail-oriented, have them sit down and figure out the finances. Give them the job or the task to come up with a budget. And so that's their contribution to the mm-hmm. caregiving team. Somebody else is really good at cooking and running errands and going to the grocery store. Give them the assignment of coming up with the menu for the week. Have them do the shopping. Have them, you know, bring in the paper towels and the toilet paper mm-hmm. and all the necessities into the home and make sure those are always stocked. Other people are just good at being there. You know, great attitudes, always happy, always cheerful, very, companionship. They have the dog in the family. Come and mm-hmm. visit with the dog. So look for a role. Find a role for each one of those family members that's suited to their skills so they feel like they're contributing. And then sit down and meet with that family team on a regular basis and talk about what each one of them are seeing and how are they contributing. Do they feel like they're making a difference? Because each of them are going to have different observations about mom or grandmother, and they're going to be able to weigh in. And as long as they feel like they have a voice, that helps kind of prevent or quell that dysfunction. I mean, one of the things about dementia mm-hmm. is it brings out the dysfunction in families. You've seen it. I've seen
yes.
it. It comes to the surface. It boils over, and it tears families apart. And so the best thing to do is to confront it from the very beginning and really sort it out.
And that is why we wanted to do this topic today, because, like I said earlier, we just went through the holidays,
right.
and I'm sure a lot of families noticed things. And so now is the right time to get together. It's after the holidays. You notice the challenges or maybe differences. You might all be wondering, huh, did you see that too? Did you notice this in dad or mom or whoever it is that you're caring for? Now is the time to come together and address those very issues.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me tell you just a real quick story. I've got a grandmother that's 97 years old. Lives in Colorado. My parents live in Colorado, my brother and his family. And so, you know, we're the family from out of town. And so when we go and visit, we're able to kind of drop in and see what's going on, but we're not there day to day. And so last year when we were there at Christmas time, my wife and I went to visit my grandmother, who's 97, and at that point was living by herself. And my mom was so proud of that and how independent she was, and they had this whole system worked out. And she had a MedAlert bracelet, or she a pendant she wore around her neck. While we were there, my mom went over to help her get dressed one morning, and my grandmother looks at her and says, "What's that thing?" And so it was a huge wake-up call for all of us that this MedAlert pendant, which was the life-saving device that had kept everybody comfortable, she no longer recognized.
And if you don't know what it is, then what is the point?
She didn't know what it was, which means she didn't know what the dials on the stove were for. She didn't know how to adjust the temperature. And as we were sitting there, my wife and I having a conversation with her, the phone rang during the same visit. And she, one of her daughters from out of town had called, and she said, "Oh, I'm having this wonderful visit with these people." And they turned around and looked at us. My grandmother looked at us and said, "And what's your names again?" And so these two or three things happened that kind of brought everything to the surface. And being in the business, I sat down with my mom and said, "All right, she can't live by herself.
We got to talk.
We got to talk. It's time to do something." And so that then next January, my grandmother moved in with my parents. And so, you know, she's now, you know, in the family home and a lot safer. But it took two or three of those things that may have been overlooked because they were too close to it. And so, you know, she's doing okay and she's doing well, but the forgetfulness is progressing, and at 97 years old, you know, it will happen.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Todd, for being here today. I think this was a very valuable conversation that I know a lot of families are facing, and hopefully by us being here and sharing our stories, people will know where to turn to and know that they are not alone, that this is normal, that if they're feeling guilty, it's okay. Just reach out for help, that we can help. If you have any questions, we encourage you to visit our website at scrc.care or to give us a call directly at 1-800-827-1008 or give us a call directly at 858-268-4432. I want to make sure that everybody knows that we are here to care for those who care for others. Todd, thank you so much for being here. Really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Enjoy it.
Thank you.